This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a pair of Game 7s in the NBA playoffs. Saturday night, we saw the Denver Nuggets dismantle the Clippers at Bell Arena in Denver. What a game that one was. You had Nikola Jokic not having to be the workhorse in the scoring capacity, but still dominated the basketball game.
Yeah.
But it was Aaron Gordon, Russell Westbrook, and Christian Braun that like carried the weight for the Denver Nuggets in a game that Jim Harden absolutely jimmed that bad boy up.
Yeah.
Bad James Harden in Game 7 showed his face.
What's really interesting about this, I was diving into this in this weekend, and Haberstroh beat me to it with a very in-depth piece on James Harden in Game 7s. And it's actually kind of crazy. Tom Haberstroh, Haberstat, does the Blazers broadcast. He also has his Finder article. He had some absolutely insane stats about James Harden's Game 7s over his career. He has one of the like higher game score deviations of anyone in Game 7s, as in the sense of like, or I shouldn't say deviations, but consistencies. He's actually more consistent and game score outperforms guys like Kobe and Tim Duncan. It's kind of weird. The crux of it comes down to he's one of the best in Game 7s all time in steals, in blocks, in assists. But where you see the monumental cavalcade drop-off, points, turnovers. He and doesn't score, and he turns the ball over.
Field goal percentage, too. I mean, he was dreadful in that. The thing about Harden is, sure, you can give me the assists, you can give me the steals. Where he impacts the game the most is his creation on the offensive end of the floor and creating shots and looks. There are looks that he does not pass up in a regular season game for sure, and surely not in a playoff game, that he just passes up in crucial, not just crucial situations, but throughout the course of a game. Like, James Harden went 2 of 8 from the field.
Mm-hmm.
2 of 8. And James Harden, the player, is not a guy that limits himself to 8 shot attempts.
Not only that, he was 1 of 4 from three. You want some nasty James Harden 3-point numbers?
And didn't get to the free throw line.
Ah.
Like, it's different. And that's the thing, is that, like, he doesn't get to the free throw line because he's not taking those shots. It's like a force field is built up around him to where he just says, no, I'm not going to be the guy that misses a bunch of shots in the game. And he limits himself to 8 shot attempts.
You want some nasty 3-point numbers?
Yeah.
James Harden, in his career in Game 7s, is now 13 of 58 from 3, 22.4%, which means that 1 of 4 night actually brought his 3-point percentage up.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. On top of that, it's the lowest 3-point field goal percentage rate of any player in NBA history with a minimum of 25 threes in Game 7s.
Really?
Yes. He also holds the record for the most 3-pointers missed in Game 7s. With 45.
Ugh. What about his turnovers?
There was a note in here. I can't remember what it was. Oh, God. His ability to get to the free throw line and 3-point line are there. I believe he has the most turnovers in Game 7s.
Like ever?
Yes. I'm trying to find it, but this is a very long
one. That probably sounds about right from what we've seen.
Yeah.
Is there a guy that, I mean, think of stars in the NBA. Who are the least trustworthy stars when the rubber meets the road? Mm. And you're like, we need this guy to show up. Because Harden is up there, despite the fact that what you just outlined about, look, he facilitates a lot of other things. But if you look, and we're not huge on, you know, the whole, what's it called? Single game plus minus.
Yeah.
He was minus 29, though. Yeah. When it's minus 29 or something egregious, then you can look at it and be like, yikes, buddy.
Yeah, when the numbers get real big either way, you just kind of look at it and go, okay. And remember, it's not just this game. James Harden was a part of that team that missed, what, 27 straight threes?
Yeah, man.
Like,
that's a...
He has been, and he's also been a part, he was the guy that held the NBA record for most turnovers in a playoff game with 14. Like, his Game 6 and Game 7 stuff in his career, he has been, Doc Rivers gets the, you know, choke artist. Like, I don't think there's a player that shrinks from the moment more than Harden in modern NBA history.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at, so...
But I'm trying to think of guys in that same vein. I know Chris Paul's name will get brought up, but Chris Paul's has been almost always injury.
Yeah, yeah.
Not performance. It's been injury.
Yeah. If you look at, like, so win shares, right?
Mm-hmm.
Win shares in the NBA are basically, it's a way to look at your importance to your team, right? How valuable you are to your team. If you look at James Harden, okay, his regular season win share over his career is 174.7.
That's bonkers.
Regular season. Yeah. His playoff win share is 22.8.
And it's not exactly a shortage of games.
Okay.
I don't think he's ever missed the playoffs.
He has had 16 years in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's been in there all the time.
Yeah.
This year is not his worst. He's had some .5s sprinkled throughout his career. This year, it was .7, his win share. Okay? If you want to look at it, see, he has had some good years, though, where it's like 2.4 back in 2019-2020.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? 2.1 back in 2017-18.
That's the year they probably should have won.
If you compare that to some of the other guys that are seen as the least performing win shares from regular season to postseason, okay, you have Walt Bellamy had a regular season win share of 130.05 to 4.69 playoffs. Vince Carter does not get a whole lot of this. 122.34 to 7.4.
A lot of that was those teams he was on early in his career. Even when they did scrape by and make the playoffs, they just got smashed.
This is a really interesting one. Oscar Robertson.
Oh.
189.21 regular season win share. And this is comparable to James Harden. 13.65 playoffs.
Good Lord. Like, that's nasty.
It's absolutely, it's eye popping to see kind of what happens from the regular season to the postseason, because the Big O, obviously first player in NBA history to average a triple double over the course of a regular season, bounced in the first round of the playoffs.
And even when a guy, another guy like that in Westbrook, we know that high end Westbrook can win you a series. Now, low end Westbrook can obviously lose you one. We've seen that multiple times, but you don't question whether or not Russ is going to show up.
Yeah. Right?
Like, that's not a thing. Now, the impact that he has can go every which way, but you've never had Russ not show up with the right mentality, mindset, attitude, all that kind of thing.
Another one that was not that surprising. No. Sean Marion.
Oh, that's actually very surprising to me.
Because, well, he has some big shots in the playoffs.
Yeah, but not just defensively.
But it was always a disappearing act in the playoffs. His regular season, and he has the highest, and this was according to, I think it was Samford University did a study on this with the win share thing. he went from a 124.91 win share to 9.05, which is...
That's crazy considering...
It's the highest drop-off.
He's playing with Steve Nash.
Harden is in that territory with some of the biggest failures from regular season to post to postseason. Now,
that one's really surprising.
All of those numbers shouldn't mean a lot to anybody, but it's the variance is where you look into it and you say, these guys are so dramatically different from the regular season to the postseason. And James Harden is a guy in the vein of an Oscar Robertson who MVP numbers, Hall of Fame, no doubter.
First bout of,
Vince Carter also in that. And when it comes to playoff time, their production vanishes. And Vince Carter's a little bit different because you think of an 82-game regular season schedule, and especially in his years in Toronto, what they relied on him in the type of player he was, being an explosive player, he would always run out of gas come playoff time.
God, and he was on those Nets teams, too, that were... He was good then. That one really... I'm not sure which one surprises me more, to be honest, whether it's Marianne or Carter, but both those I wouldn't have had there.
Yeah. It's interesting to think about because Harden, it's glaring. It's in your face. You see it year in and year out, the playoff failures. And it's the stage in which Harden fails, which I think is the glaring one, because he is really... He's elite. Got games 1 through 4.
Mm-hmm.
Game 5, he's even really damn good. But game 6, game 7, if it comes to that, and it does in the NBA playoffs often.
My man's ready for the jet.
He disappears.
And not the next round.
He disappears.
It's crazy.
So I thought that was pretty interesting because you can put him in that conversation as one of the biggest disappearing acts from... And look, like, he's still... His value, I think it highlights how valuable he actually is to his team and how good he is. But it also, when it disappears, boy, it goes in a hurry.
With all that said, the Nuggets beat the ever-living hell out of the Clippers.
Yeah, they did.